In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When our Lord Jesus Christ was in the grave from that first Good Friday afternoon until he rose from the dead, what was he doing? Might seem like a bit of an odd question. He was dead, but the Apostles' Creed teaches us that our Lord was doing something when he was dead. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess that Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. Note the sequence of events. He suffered, he was crucified, he died, and was buried. And then something happens before he is risen, namely that he descended into hell. Now, when we hear that Christ descended into hell, immediately we are tempted to ask, how did it happen? Was it with his soul and body together? Where did he go? Where is hell? What did he do to Satan and the demons? Well, here's the problem. How is the wrong question. Only God knows how this happened. That is beyond us. We are not given to know this. A better question, however, for us to ask is not how, but what. What does it mean that Christ descended into hell? Maybe even a better place to start off would be with the question, what is hell? What do we mean when we say hell? And again, what is the correct question here? Not where. We should not ask where hell is, because hell, in the sense that we usually speak of it, is a part of the spiritual realm. And so by definition, it is separate from the physical creation and does not have a where in the sense that we think of it. It's much like heaven. When we speak of heaven as the place where God is, where is probably the wrong word to use there. Heaven is the domain of God, and therefore, when we speak of hell, what is hell? Well, hell is the domain of Satan and the demons. So back to Christ's descent into hell. The chief biblical text that teaches us about this is from St. Peter's first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 3, especially verses 18 and 19. And in these verses, St. Peter describes hell as a prison. Listen to what St. Peter says. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. In whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Notice how St. Peter describes these events. Christ suffered once for sins. This is the atonement that we speak of Christ upon the cross. He suffered in our place on our behalf. He paid the penalty for our sins, and so it is now paid in full. He was the just, we the unjust. And yet he traded places with us and suffered in our place. In order, according to Peter, that he might bring us to God. And so he was put to death in the flesh. But he was made alive by the Spirit, by whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison. And so it is that while our Lord Jesus Christ was dead, he descended into hell. And what did he do? He preached to the spirits in prison. What does this mean? It means that when Christ descended into hell, he descended there not as a further part of his humiliation or his suffering, but rather Christ's descent into hell is the first step in his exaltation. Christ descended into hell to declare victory over his enemies. And so we can think of Christ's descent into hell a bit like a victory parade. Of sorts. What does it mean that our Lord Jesus Christ descended into hell? The formula of concord out of our Lutheran confessions gives us an answer to this in the Solid Declaration, Article 9. We simply believe that the entire person of Christ, that is God and man, descended into hell after the burial, conquered the devil, destroyed hell's power, and took from the devil all his might. We should not, however, trouble ourselves with high and difficult thoughts about how this happened. We are simply to believe it and cling to the word. So we hold to the substance and consolation that neither hell nor the devil can take captive or injure us and all who believe in Christ. Thus, our Lord Jesus Christ's descent into hell is a proclamation of his victory. It means that he has triumphed over not just death, not just the grave, not just sin. Christ's descent into hell means that he has triumphed over Satan, over hell itself. They have no power over him, and therefore, hell and the devil have no power over you. Thus, today's final prophecy, that beautiful story of the three young men in the fiery furnace, is a type or a foreshadowing of Christ's descent into hell. Now, when we talk about hell, we often think of it and describe it as a place of fire. Note the similarity in imagery in that text of the three young men thrown into the fiery furnace. They were thrown there to their death, into hell, as it were. And the flames of hell had no power over them. Why? Because Christ was with them. We didn't read it in today's text, but you know the story, how there was a fourth man, one like the Son of God, there who walked in the flames with them. Christ was with these men because Christ has been to hell. And so it is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk free right out of the fires of hell. For death cannot hold them, nor could it hold our Lord, nor will it hold you. Thus, these words of Psalm 16 that we sang and prayed last night are true for us as well. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In our gospel text, we heard of the angel who comes to proclaim the resurrection of our Lord. He opens the tomb not to let Christ out, but to let the world see that the tomb is empty. And one of my favorite details of the text is what the angel does after he opens the door of the tomb. He sits upon the stone. It's as if he is mocking death. Death and the grave has no power because Christ has returned from death. He has returned from hell, and he brings back life with him. He has unlocked the gate of heaven for us. Martin Luther, in his Torgau sermon where he preached on the descent into hell, had this to say on the topic. The same God who has resurrected Christ from the dead will also make our mortal bodies alive again. With us, all creatures, which now are subject to corruption and anxiously yearn after our glory, also will become free from the transitory nature and become glorious. So, as we already have more than half of our resurrection, because the head and the heart are already above, only the minor remainder is left to do, which is burying the body beneath the ground, so that it also might become renewed. For where the head resides, there the body must follow too. Dear friends in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered hell for us. He is risen from the dead, and therefore our resurrection is assured. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.